thankful for that fine prayer, brother. Thankful to see each one of you. You know, we got 14 of us here this morning. So glad and so thankful to see each and every one of you, but especially thankful this morning to see Lonnie and Susan. They've been missing from our number a good while. In case you haven't heard, Sandy Staggs had gallbladder surgery this weekend, but she seems to be recovering well, so keep her in your prayers. The lesson this morning is entitled Self-Ego. Many of our problems have to do with self, and so we need to be alert to the dangers and be aware of the associated sins of self. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Read 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Consider some of the sins of self, if you will. Self-complacency or self-satisfaction, which describes the Christians at Sardis. Notice the passage in Revelation chapter 3, first two verses. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Self-complacency also describes the Christians at Laodicea. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3 verses 14 through 17. Self-complacency may indeed describe the attitude that some have, that we might refer to as preacher-itis, that some have toward their preacher. Brethren really do great harm when they lift up a man upon a pedestal. Such behavior feeds and tempts him to be egocentric, to be self-engulfed. Remember the extreme cases of preacher-itis in our history, which shows how far some are willing to go for their preacher. For example, the Branch Davidians, led by David Koresh of Waco, Texas. The People's Temple, led by Jim Jones of Jonestown, Guyana. Self-complacency is the opposite attitude to the teaching of Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 and verse 12. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, not in one's own work, nor in the work of any man, but in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Some of the sins of self-conceit, or an exaggerated estimate of one's own abilities or powers. If we could buy some for what they are worth, and then sell some for what they think they're worth, we could make a fortune. Paul said, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, Romans 12 and verse 3. I heard a preacher emphasize the phrase from Romans 12 and verse 3, than he ought to think, he said, implying that one could think highly of themselves, just not too highly, not more highly, he said. That sounds akin to the unscriptural argument that some make for drinking alcoholic beverages. You can drink, but just not too much, some say. But I don't believe it in either case. Self-conceit leads to self-promoting and self-commending. If one starts off with a statement with, I'm not boasting, but this ought to be a huge red flag that such a one is blind to their own self-conceit. The Bible says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend or boast themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Read 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. That passage closes with the same warning as Proverbs 20 and verse 1 concerning alcoholic beverages. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God resists the conceited, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4 and verse 6. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased or humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 14 and verse 11. Some of the sins of self-indulgence, or full freedom to fulfill one's own desires or inclinations. The one who is interested in the treasure of pleasure for self is identified by the Savior as a fool. Jesus spake a parable, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Reads Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. We should remember the sin of Demas. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. We should fight this sin with self-denial. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Some of the sins of self-righteousness, or an attitude of always right in one's own eyes. Remember the biblical record regarding the sin of the praying Pharisee? Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others, or had contempt for others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased or humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:9-14. Self-righteousness is what prompted accusations against our Lord. Notice the passage in Matthew 9:10-13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:10-13. The Spirit's warning should thunder in our ears. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Some of the sins of self-willed, or insisting on having one's own way, obstinate, stubborn. To those who are self-serving or self-willed and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, God will give wrath and indignation. Romans 2:8. A self-willed one will be preeminent in personality, domineering in attitudes, persistent in demands, dogmatic in opinions, set in his ways and insistent on his own will. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. 2 Peter 2:9-10. Our example said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, that is, not self-willed, but the will of the Father which has sent me, reads John 5:30. Some of the sins of self-centered or absorbed in self, egocentric. The synonym is selfishness. Selfish, which is concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself. Seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for others. Selfishness seeks to excessively build up self or even his own family, and tear down anyone else who is interested in growing and maturing spiritually, because there is no room for anyone else among a self-centered person. Self-centered ones are the first in the list of sins which cause bad times. Paul said, This know also, that in the last days perilous or bad times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters or self-commending, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. 2 Timothy 3:1-2. Diotrephes demonstrated sins of being self-centered in the church. 3 John verses 9 through 11 reads, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. The Bible warns of those who would be self-centered. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Acts 20, verses 29 and 30. Paul forbids exclusive interest in self. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Consider, if you will, some of the proper self traits. Self-denial, which is the opposite of self-indulgence. We should give up anything which interferes with living a pure and unspotted life. As the Bible says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, James 1 and verse 27. Self-denial is a prerequisite of following Christ. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Matthew 16 and verse 24. It is far better to give up temporal things than to lose one's own soul. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16 and verse 26. Some of the proper self traits: self-control, which is the ability to self-rule and is a mark of superior greatness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit or has self-control than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Self-control is a vital trait we should work on. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6, which takes great self-control. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 1, verses 9 through 11. Some of the proper self-traits: self-sacrifice, which is the giving of self to God and others. Consider our greatest example. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, Matthew 20 and verse 28. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Let us concentrate on following the biblical examples. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. Romans 12 and verse 1. And this they did not as we hope, but first gave themselves unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, 26 through 28. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8. Some of the proper self traits: true humility. Humble individuals who recognize their own weakness and allow the power of God to work in them through His Word are the ones who are truly spiritually strong. True humility replaces self-seeking with seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, not self-righteousness, but His righteousness. True humility replaces self-will with doing the will of God. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2 and verse 17. If any man will to do his will, ye shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 7 and verse 17. Some need to remember that an overseer must be beyond reproach as God's steward, not self-willed. Titus 1 and verse 7. True humility replaces self-confidence with confidence in God. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36. This speaks of our confidence in God, not in self. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded, or am confident, that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1, 11 and 12. This speaks also of our confidence in God, not in self. True humility replaces self-sufficiency or self-reliance with reliance upon God. Such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Read 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 and 5. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Reads James 4:13-16. So self-sufficiency, self-boasting is evil. True humility replaces self-honor, self-boasting, and self-glory with glorifying God. We should never forget that self-honor or self-glory is what turned King Nebuchadnezzar into a beast of the field. Read Daniel 4:25-35. No flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:29-31. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips, reads Proverbs 27:2. Some need to be reminded that the Bible says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, the last part of 1 Peter 4:11. Sadly, some men act like any ability they have comes from their own self to their own glory. How sad. True humility replaces self-exaltation with exaltation of God. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness, his pride, his arrogance, and his self-exaltation. Reads Jeremiah 48:29. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Read Psalms 46:10. Spiritual endeavors that are done from a spirit of self-exaltation, self-righteousness, and pride will never be effective in accomplishing God's purpose. The servant of the Lord must not strive or quarrel, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Read 2 Timothy 2:24-25. True humility demands that we do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important or better than yourselves. Philippians 2:3. One man pointed out that Jesus went to the cross for us, not for himself. True humility provides strength in weakness. Notice what our Lord said to the Apostle Paul concerning becoming strong. Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Causing Paul to respond, when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves, Romans 15:1, in rivalry conceit, Philippians 2:3, or in contempt, Luke 18:9-14. I suggest that one cannot truly love anyone else while they are egocentric or full of self-love. We should rather, by love, serve one another. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Not self. It is by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, Jesus said, if ye have self-love. No. If ye have love one to another, John 13 and verse 35. In conclusion, becoming a Christian includes denying self. Read Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Becoming a Christian includes crucifying self and losing self to gain Christ. Read Galatians 2 and verse 20. Not about any form of self. To serve as an illustration, we sometimes sing a song written in 1875 by Theodore Monod entitled None of Self and All of Thee. The first stanza starts out with, oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. The last stanza of that song says, higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. In reference to Christ Jesus, John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. John 3 and verse 30. We can stop our infant crawling of a self-ego life and walk onto maturity, spiritually leading others. Christ in us, the hope of glory which we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, not our own working, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily, Paul said in Colossians 1, 27 through 29. So we need to fully commit self to Christ, not to any man. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Read Romans 6, 3 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye all appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If you have need, please come as together we stand and sing. Who at the door is standing, patiently drawn. Yeah.